Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, it's Colson here. Now, you're about to listen to this week's episode of On the Sofa. But before you do so, I need a massive favor from you. And that favor is simply following or subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. When you do that, it's simple. All you have to do is you press the button and it downloads the episodes of the podcast automatically. It sends you a notification every time we release an episode, and it helps us grow the podcast. We cannot express how much we appreciate all of your support. Now you've done the favor, simply sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of On the Sofa with me, Jack, and Ben. Hello and welcome back to On the Sofa with Colson, Jack, and Ben. Coming up on today's bite-sized episode is this: I made a loss and the show is for charity.
Oh dear.
What I decided.
You go into the charity and go, actually, yeah. You owe us money. Yeah.
Okay, right. Ready to get this episode off? Are you ready?
Yeah. And Henry, how do we get
ready?
It off?
We had a false start. Are you ready now?
Yeah.
Oh, how do we get it off, Colson?
We only start one way on a Monday, Ben. And that is, if you've got a conundrum, you come to Colson.
It's that at the end.
It's got a ring to it of like something else.
It's got a ring to it of shit.
Yeah, shit sandwich.
Shit sandwich. Is it going to be today a good conundrum?
I think it is. Also today, 29th of January. If you want, I'm on Antiques Roadshow tonight.
Oh, give
it a
watch.
Yeah.
What channel?
Give it a watch, BBC.
Which
BBC?
One.
Is it?
No, it's a two.
Is it a two? Surely it's a two.
It's not a one. What, in the middle of the news?
Me and Christine McGuinness going on the hunt for some bargains.
You got a load of shit, didn't you? You got a plate, which they told you...
Do you know what I did buy? £20. I bought... I can tell you all this now, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I bought a...
You bought a film projector, didn't you?
I bought
you?
A film projector. The podcast might get a mention.
Yeah.
So if you're listening...
Did the film projector sell?
Yes. Not for more than I paid for it, though.
Broke even.
No, I didn't make money on anything.
Is this Dickinson's real deal?
One teacup, 50p.
No, Antiques Road Trip.
Okay.
No,
is that got Dickinson in it?
No, Dickinson. You'll know the voice of a guy on Antiques Road
Can
Trip.
Can I just step
brilliant.
In now?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been offered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's a very good offer, because normally it's quite tight.
That's the real deal.
I love him. I love him. So it's not that.
It's not that.
Is it the one where they go, have you got this privately insured? It's worth £1 million.
Basically, what it is, you remember Bargain Hunt?
Yeah.
It's Bargain Hunt.
Yeah, but I don't know if they've robbed Bargain Hunt. I shouldn't be saying this. But basically, it's Antiques Road Trip. So you go on a road trip in a vintage car and you go to antique shops, you buy antiques, and then you take it to auction and you try and make some money for children in need.
That's Bargain Hunt, isn't it?
It's Bargain Hunt.
It's very similar.
All day Bargain.
I bought...
And that's the real deal.
I bought a shoe stretcher, like a cobbler's shoe stretcher.
What? A fucking shoe stretcher.
Why don't you just buy the right size?
I bought...
a fucking shoe stretcher.
It's obviously for bending the leather, isn't it?
It gets worse.
Go on.
I bought a big drum of lubricant because I thought it looked like cool and arty. It was like a big old... empty drum and it had like a branding on. Thought it looked good. I bought a teacup that I was told to buy because it would have made me money at auction, which it did.
How much more?
£1,000
Oh. But what I know with that is you go in the auction, they don't take off the auctioneer's fees or anything.
No,
do
I did. So yeah, didn't hardly made it. Won't have made it. But I made a loss, which, and the show is for charity.
Oh dear. What I decided.
You go into the chair and go, actually, you owe us money.
Yeah. I did sit. As I was driving home from doing it, I was like,
you've lost.
I've just wasted
money.
£400 of potential.
Do you know what? You could have
money.
Just taken the money and said, I'm not doing the show. I'm donating the £400 because I'm clearly not going to make
any
money.
But I spent it all on stuff that
I
didn't
bought some lubricant, a shoe stretcher, and a what's projector that doesn't work.
And a projector. and
it's not.
Do you know what I was going to buy?
Real deal.
I was going to buy a part of a helicopter, but it would have been most of my budget. And I wish I did.
What would you have got for blades of a helicopter? Not
I don't
easy
know,
to store.
But I don't know because you didn't sell it, did I? But. Yeah.
Do they push you towards getting certain things?
You have an expert. Go, this is good. And my expert...
couldn't care less.
No, she told me to buy that teacup,
which worked.
And it did work.
No. So you not ignored
and
it.
And we had to haggle down on price, but there's a bit in the contract that you can't haggle too much. We'll do it for £60 and I'd be like, deal. And she was like, you can haggle a bit more than that. And I'd be like,
okay.
I don't want
to. Okay, fair. £5. No, not that harsh. Okay, yeah. £4. See what I'm doing?
But anyway, it
was two.
Good.
It was
good.
I'm not giving you anything. You pay me.
I was
that's
on that.
That's the real deal.
That is.
Tune in to see if I beat Christine.
Yes.
Aren't you on a team, though?
No, we're against each other.
You'll beat her easily.
I don't know. Each other. I think Christine might know her stuff.
I think Christine might know her stuff as well. Anyway. Conundrum.
Conundrum.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Can you do it in the voice of Dickinson?
Boys.
He's great, isn't he? Great. I would buy anything from him.
Yeah. I'm looking to downsize next year.
Yeah. And cheap. That's the real deal.
Cheap as chips.
Cheap as chips.
Here
what
we go.
What we've got here, and I love this, Worcester furniture.
This comes in from Irene.
Ah.
And Irene says, boys, I am looking to downsize next year and move closer to our grown-up children with my husband.
True.
Now, my idea of downsizing is a smaller garden and one less bedroom.
Yeah.
My husband, who I think is tired of sharing the house with our kids and their family,
okay.
He wants us to get a flat on a marina with no garden, one bed, maybe two at a push. And if we have visitors, they get a hotel.
Yeah.
Who's got the right idea?
I think this is a good conundrum.
I like this. I'm in with this.
Because this strikes me, one, it's real.
Yeah.
And two, I think this is a conundrum conversation I might have. I think if you're going to downsize, you downsize. What I get the feeling of, I think you downsize, you downsize. You don't half size.
So basically, it's do you downsize so that people can still come?
Sodom.
That's it's clever. It's
get on the
clever
marina.
Move.
Get on the marina.
Clever move. What
would
the
you,
husband's
would you?
Doing.
Yeah, get on the marina.
But ultimately, we all know the power lies with Irene.
Yes.
When it's moving houses, it's up to the missus, isn't it?
Yeah, Irene is
you're
definitely going to have
Jesus.
The final say. Now,
Irene's got it in her head. She's not giving much leeway, I think. That marina sounds nice.
Let's do pros and cons here.
She's not sure of a flat though.
Why? No garden.
Living in a
she's
flat.
She wants the
she's
garden.
She's got the sea.
She wants the garden.
She's got the sea it's garden.
Sea garden.
Let's just quickly, okay? Living in a flat. Jack, you've done it. I've done it.
Ben's done it.
You've done it. Let's just talk about the pros and the cons of living in a flat.
People is the cons.
No, that's a pro.
No, people around you.
Oh, I never saw anyone.
When you were living in the flats?
No.
Just hearing people, corridors,
yeah.
People.
A lift as your front door.
I think that's mint.
Not being able to get stuff delivered.
No, but you can all the time. There's like a little...
I didn't particularly enjoy, I don't think.
What about the bin store?
That
was good.
I tell you what was good that
what
me and Ben had.
Bin shoot.
A bin shoot.
Bin shoot is
game
great.
Changer.
Game changer.
I've had bin shoot.
Game changer.
Because actually, what you're doing there is stuffing a load in.
And listening for the noise. Shoot.
And then you're hearing, you're wrapping it properly,
yeah.
Don't you?
We
then
used
you
to.
We used to
stay in almost. Yeah. When it hit the bottom, we'd like high five each other. We'd be like,
you'd hear it on the
great.
Way down. You'd packed it lovely, and then you'd hear.
Yeah.
And then you'd remember, like, as you would put it down, that you had like a candle in the bottom of it that had burnt out, and then you hear the glass smash at the bottom.
And you go, double top. That yeah. bin chute is worth it.
Bin chute's worth it. I think, personally, downsizing. Now, let's say you've got a 3-bed house and they're on about getting a 2-bed. Then that way people can still come over and stay. Like my mum and dad, for example, they haven't downsized, but they've moved bedrooms and they've shut off a bedroom so that now they're basically a bedroom down. So the Hannah's room
what do you
no
mean
longer.
They've shut it off.
Like bricked what's it up.
Bricked it
third
up.
Floor, yeah, gone.
What? Got the plague.
So what's it do? Just they've just left someone up there and bricked it up.
Yeah, they've just yeah, basically.
Locked it up.
Yeah.
You mean they've converted it into just a study or a different room?
No, just taking the staircase out.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was never a third floor, it was always a loft.
Like it was a loft room.
It was a like loft a room.
Loft room.
Being camp saying third floor.
Well, is it not a third floor? A loft room. And they've taken the stairs out and blocked it up.
Fine.
Oh, well.
And then obviously they have a bedroom that's a walk-in wardrobe for both of them. I wonder where I get it from. Then dad's office was a bedroom. So it's like, basically, they've only got one spare room now.
Okay.
So if I'm at home, that's my room.
Yeah.
Or if they have guests, they've got one spare room.
Do they all go in one room with you?
That's the only thing they can do, but they have a very have a hotel very close by. So I'm just thinking, if Irene don't want to host, she can. She's entitled to have a house and tell people that they're not allowed to come to the house. If they just want to have...
It's not downsizing, is it?
I know,
one bedroom off isn't downsizing. Downsizing is complete change. If she'd gone from a stately home to two bedrooms,
I don't get
I can
why you'd
it.
Want to go
three to
I don't,
two.
I don't get downsizing.
I'd keep the garden if you can.
Well, you're releasing equity and you've got more a property you can manage. I'll tell you where I'm going. You're I'm on the flat. Marina because I'm using the extra money. I'm buying a little boat and I'm toddling off to do a bit of fishing.
You get seasickness.
Yeah, I get seasickness.
Motion sickness.
Yeah, I do actually. To be fair,
yeah, but they don't that. Move, do they? Yeah,
they move it. Enough for someone who has motion sickness.
Yeah, you're right. I'm off that idea now. Actually, sod the marina. We're back in the house. Awful idea. Marina is an awful golf course. Flat on a golf course. Come on.
That's what I'd do. I'd downsize and buy a place abroad.
I'm with Irene. I think she should do the smaller house with a little garden.
Free for house.
House.
All
free.
In favour, say aye.
Aye.
Irene.
Well then, Irene.
Aye for Irene. Aye. I like it. Moving on. Irene, thanks for writing in. Remember, if you have got a conundrum and you want me to answer it, simply write into us. Get in touch. We're on every social network you could possibly imagine, except from OnlyFans.
Do you know what I like about a conundrum now? Is if you're going to write him the conundrum, if you're going to write him
easy
the conundrum,
for you to say.
Some people have podcasts where you do a conundrum. It's quite lighthearted. What I like about this is it's a genuine life choice based on our choice. So if you've got a conundrum in your life, which is a genuine big life change.
What should I have for tea tonight? You didn't
Not what having your tea tonight. A massive life change. Like, should I move abroad to be with someone I only met for a week.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something like that. Mm. Or should I change houses? Or should I go and leave my job and go, great. Yeah. I think, let's get into the big conundrums. Yeah.
But then they
life.
Have to do whatever we say.
If we read it, you do it.
Yeah.
And we want not, proof.
Yeah. We need to see the house, Irene. We need to see the downsize, or I'm going to need to see a marina.
Yeah.
Send us some links to some right moves and we'll pick it for you. If people do want to send us a conundrum, Jack, what is our social media handles?
At On The Sofa Show.
Or you can get in touch by phone.
You can. And that number is 07457 404 612. If you're outside the UK, drop a no, stick a plus, 447457. 404-612! Exclamation.
Why are you trying to get cool and cocky with it now?
Sounds good though, doesn't it?
You're getting cool and cocky.
Drop
Speaking
all,
of cool
plus.
And cocky.
Drop it all, stick a plus. That's how phones work.
Are we gonna rank some things and put them into a top five?
Top five. We've had a special write-in for the top five. I'm quite happy to read out anyone's top fives.
If
anyone's
it's good.
If it's good, if it's shit, obviously not. Add a would you rather. If it's good, yeah. If it's shit, no. Here we go. Susan White Duck, friend of the show.
Head of White Ducks.
Head of White Ducks.
Hey.
Hi.
Let's just have a minute to talk about those bloody white dogs.
Let's not. Hi, guys. My birthday is in January the 30th, and as a Canadian, I usually have a traditional cake or cupcakes. I want to try something new.
Okay.
Can you do a top five must-have British pastries or desserts?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Colson can.
Red velvet cake. That is the goat. In terms of cake, Costco, red velvet cake.
Is that an English cake, though?
I don't know, but it's... Costco is that red
a British?
Cake.
Is that a British thing? Because I'm going to say I'm going to throw
scone.
In here. No, apple crumble.
Oh,
is
shite!
That, is that British?
Don't know.
Shite. Millionaire shite. Shock. What would you want?
Crumble.
Rhubarb crumble.
I go apple over rhubarb.
Apple.
Victoria sponge.
That's got to be. That's got to be English.
Sponge.
That is. Yeah. That is. That is. Death.
Tell you, who does a good one. Jane Smith does a good Victorian sponge.
Okay.
Victorian.
Victorian. I'll have a Victorian sponge, please. From the Victorian.
Lemon drizzle?
Time.
A bit of lemon drizzle?
Yeah, you got it.
Lemon drizzle. You got to have
icing on
Eccles cake. Ooh.
Banana.
Eccles cakes
banana
are
bread.
Shit.
Eccles cakes are shit.
I made
Eccles cakes on Antiques Roadshow.
Did you?
Shite.
What do you mean you made them? Is it about antiques? Was it an old Eccles cake?
We did a spin off.
Scones.
Scones
are good, but no raisins or raisins.
No raisins. Hey, jam and cream.
You have to have raisins.
What did I just say and you both ignored it and it was really, really good? I listed a cake.
Because you would have listed some
banana cake, banana loaf, banana bread.
That reminds me of lockdown and everyone dicking about.
It's good. It's fucking good.
Everyone.
Is it not a cake you don't love, though?
There's a lot of cake I don't like.
What?
Coffee, carrot, fruit and walnut.
Carrot cake's good, to be fair.
He fucking knows his cakes. Fuck me, you know your cakes.
You give me a cake and there's less chance I'll like it than I will like it. Name a cake.
Cheese.
I like cheese.
Oh!
Cake.
Boom! Got it.
Name a flavour. Name a flavour.
Lemon.
New York.
No, I won't have lemon.
New York.
What's New York?
It's like the OG cheesecake.
Yeah, don't like it. It's baked. I don't like baked cheesecake.
What do you like? How
do you just have it cold?
Set. Yeah.
No one does that.
Yeah. That's bollocks. Lemon meringue pie.
No.
Tiramisu.
No. See? Proving points.
Flans.
Pineapple upside down cake.
No.
Viennetta.
Well, it's an ice cream.
You love it. It's a cake.
I don't know if this is a trick, but it's an ice cream.
No.
Viennetta, yes. What's the little shit cake in the red bag that goes in the cupboard?
Jam-tart.
No.
Goes in the cupboard?
Mr. Kipling.
No,
Bakewell,
not those.
Jamaican ginger cake.
That is fucking, when I was a kid, that was always. Because you can't get through that.
It's good.
It's good.
Strong.
Strong. You can't get through it. Lots of treacle.
What about Christmas cake?
Hate it.
Love
shit.
It.
Hate it.
I half
don't let
Christmas
the dog have it.
No one
Christmas.
Eats
it.
Half
only
on my
people
own.
Your age eat them.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
only people in their 80s. And that's me. I ate half of mine and no one else ate it. And no. I ate half the Christmas cake.
Penny in the middle?
What?
No, that's Christmas pudding.
Oh, I don't like that
either.
Yeah,
that's what I said, didn't I?
No, you said Christmas cake.
In that same
two
thing?
Different things.
No, Christmas pudding's one you like. Christmas cake's like a raisin cake.
Oh, they're both.
What
fruit.
About the stand? I've spoken about Bruce, haven't I, on this? But yeah,
yes, you fucking have.
Bruce.
In your
Bruce?
Sleep.
Who's Bruce?
The Bruce cake, the Chesney cake.
Oh, yeah, you did.
They're doing a Valentine's Day special, which is white chocolate and raspberry.
Okay, we're only in January.
Cheesecake's the one.
Cheesecake's the one, but.
You don't like it.
No.
So come on, top five. Suzanne's...
Okay,
she's
right.
Pastries.
So we,
can you have sausage rolls?
She wants British.
Can you do a top five, have British pastries or desserts?
Look,
we're not doing sausage rolls.
I'm going to start off
for
here.
For a birthday. And there you go. It's a birthday sausage roll.
It's
Ooh.
British, yeah. It's British. In at five, Greg's Yum Yum. Yeah?
All right. Are they British? Aren't they American Yum Yum?
I don't know, but a Greg's Yum Yum. Four, Jamaican ginger cake.
Yeah.
Three, Costco red velvet cake.
Yeah.
Two, Vicky sponge.
Yeah.
One, scone.
Fine.
I don't think
so. What would you...
I don't think
so. No one drops
it. It's the most traditional English thing.
No.
Strawberries and cream.
Can you do a top five?
Yeah, well,
scones.
We all know Costco red velvet cake, so one.
Well, why didn't you put it at one then?
Because you wouldn't let me.
And it's a scone.
We didn't say no. We said, what's your five, scone?
Red velvet cake is American, I've just
checked. Yeah, who cares? Who cares about the teens?
It's murder on the dance floor.
Why is red velvet cake so good?
I don't know. I've never had it.
It's
sickly.
It's
too big. I'll tell you what gets me about cake now. They do a cake and it's not... When I was a kid...
Grows in your mouth.
That's like massive layers.
Mm. Colin the Caterpillar.
Yeah.
Ooh. Go off that.
Ooh, that's strong. And Henry's got about to know all about that because as a kid you buy them that every year for the first 10 years.
I still get Colin the Caterpillar.
He gets the face.
Birthday boy.
All the shoes are good.
Well, there we go, Suzanne. That's exactly what you needed to know in one scone.
Interesting.
Dog shit.
Could have gone cornflake cakes.
That would have been my top one. Right, should we go over reviews?
Yeah.
Here we go. WhatsApp. Remember, just messages or voice notes. No phone calls.
Have the phone calls stopped, Henry?
There's still a few trickle through, but I ignore them.
And remember, just messages 2 a.m. till 4 a.m.
And if you really do need to get hold of us, just ring us.
Yeah. Just make sure you ring late. Tom in Runcorn. Hi, Colson, Jack and Ben. My question is... What was your first memory of walking down those world-famous cobbles for the first time? It's a good one. We've started off strong. What was your first memory of walking down the cobbles, Coronation Street?
First time on the cobbles.
My first
scene was on the street.
Mine wasn't, so I can't remember it.
My first scene...
Can you remember your second scene?
Yeah.
Was it on the same day?
No.
Different day?
Friday and the Monday.
And you remember them both?
Yeah, I was only there. That was it.
Oh, right, okay.
Don't forget.
Oh, right, okay.
I can't remember what I came back for.
Interesting. Mm.
First scene was outside streetcars. It was getting a taxi home from the bistro. Beth and Steve, it was back in the days where they could smoke on set.
Yeah.
So they both had their, they were both smoking in the scene. I was sat on the curb as them two were saying, it's been great to catch up and see you around.
And then Monday you did the stuff interior.
Monday I did the stuff in the bistro where I met my future best friend for the first time at the age of 11.
Weird. So weird.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first time I was on the street.
I remember going onto the street, and I have to say this, it was weird because it was the first street was much smaller.
Yeah, it was.
So it didn't feel as... And weirdly, for me, I thought it was fairly normal.
Yeah.
I didn't go, oh. I don't know whether that's because we're at work and I just consider I'm always on a set.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone who gave you your, moment of you're in the right place or this is where you need to be? I guess you didn't because you would have come in with an introduction and everything, wouldn't you?
I just came to the Platt. So I was with the Platt. So I'm with a family.
Because when I first rocked up at the building for filming day,
I wasn't let in on my first day.
Were you not?
So I went to the gate. It's my first day on the street. I'm playing Nick Tilsley. I walk up to the gate in the old world.
The lodge, yeah.
And it was 7:45. Going, hey, mate. Hi. I've just come to work. All right, what's your name? Ben Price. So he looks down the list. And the list is essays, not call sheets. The list is essays. He said...
What are essays?
Supporting artists.
So you have a list of essays that you might have in Rovers, Bistro, blah, blah, blah. And they have a list to let them into a certain part of the building.
Like an extra.
And he went, well, you're not on the list. And I went, oh, right. And then half of me...
Trying not to be shitty on your first day.
No, half of me thought, this is fucking great for a story. I hope he's going to turn me away. Because I thought, this is great to ring the desk and go, I can't turn up for work. So I went, oh, so does that mean I can't come in? And he went, well, yeah. Because he said, well, what are you doing here? And I was a bit vague. And I said, well, I'm an actor. I'm going to be in it. And I think it's probably a day or a couple of days, just making myself laugh. And he didn't let me in. So I had to ring up the desk at work and went, Mark Huff answered it. And I went, hey, Mark. And he went, hey, it's Ben Price. He went, yeah. I said to him, I can't get into work.
I'm stood at the gate.
Someone's got to be fired for this. I have never been so offended. I'm going back home. You need to sort this shit out. And I fucking was pissing myself. And then eventually he let me in. Yeah. And then he said to the guy, oh, he's playing Nick Tilsley. And the guy went, well, Well, he wasn't on the list.
No, he's not on the list, yeah.
Fair point.
Fair point. I do remember that. Fair point. I was like, yeah, fair enough. But it did make me laugh. But my first scene ever was Christmas at the Platz. Well, I was outside first and then Christmas Day in the Platz.
Oh, so you were on the street first?
No, I was in... Location. Location with Michelle Keegan.
Yes.
That was my first day. Okay. And it was... You know, what's that? What are those bars? You know, down from home, and it's on the canal, and it's by the tram stop.
Deansgate Locks.
Deansgate Lock.
Yeah.
We were in a pub there, and I meet her outside of the street. And that's how I come to the street, is she goes, oh, why didn't you come back? Or it's Christmas Day, why didn't you come back? And I'm like, oh, okay, where do you live? And then we end up walking to number 8.
And when she says Coronation Street, do you go... I know that place.
I know that because I'm Nick Tilsey. And then they say, you can't come in.
Why? Was there a family rift?
No, it just I'd been away in Canada, hadn't I, for a long time.
The security,
security guy. So I'd been away for a long time. But I do remember thinking, because the street was much smaller then. I think it's a much bigger street now, isn't it?
Mm.
You know when you, obviously, work's completely changed from what it was, but Key Street, you know, you get in, you get parked up on that, like, diagonal car park, and then you just go to a tiny door, and there's no big welcome. There's like, now we've got a massive grand reception, we've got a trophy room as you walk in, we've got security, Caff or Vinny on the desk straight away. You didn't have that at Key Street. I walked in the door, and as soon as you walk in the door, you're in the green room.
You're in the green, yeah.
So it's call sheets in front of you. And I remember my mum being like, oh, I'm not sure if we're in the right place. And I hadn't done loads of TV work. Normally, you've got a runner who would meet you in the car or something like that. Whereas walking into a soap that's its own production that's moving fast, you're never seeing that. And you're a tiny, tiny cog on a part of a massive day. Yeah. Whereas normally, production's very different. Walking... Didn't know if it was in the right place. And we were stood at the call sheets and we didn't want to walk into the green room because obviously there was people there. And I remember seeing Malcolm Hebden sat there and I was like, fucking hell, that's nice. So we kind of just stood there and we were like, oh God, are we in the right place? And do you know who it was? Who was the person who saw me through and told me I was in the right place?
Me.
Helen Worth.
Oh, really?
Ah. It was Helen Worth and Helen King. They were together.
Helen King, makeup.
Yeah.
Helen
so I'm King assuming they were walking together into the green room, and she went, you just need to go and speak to the people in that
box. Quite like about the old building.
I miss that.
Which you walked in, and it didn't look like anything. And then when you went through the green room, through the kitchen, and you opened that
door. Through the crew room.
You just saw the whole street. And if you took someone round, and you went, oh, yeah, just come through here, and you open the door, and they go... Oh shit!
Yeah.
I'm on Coronation Street. Yeah. It was a really good reveal. Yeah.
It's mad, it was isn't
it? You walk through the green room to the corridor and the crew room.
Yeah,
and you opened what you're saying, that little secret door, and you were literally the street.
All you could see was you're the street. You're on it.
It's mad. So
you'd sometimes open that door and you'd be in shot.
Yeah. That was always funny.
Because it was the door. You'll see it actually on the episodes now that are on the screen. If you look at the side of the bistro.
The green door.
Is it green?
I think it's
green. Well, I don't know. But it's on the side of the bistro.
It's a wooden door.
Anyway, there's a wooden door at the side.
Might be green.
I don't think it's green.
Might be blue.
I think it's just clear. I think it's like this.
Old wood.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a door at the side of the bistro.
Yeah.
That was where the green room used to be.
Yeah, and it's mad when you think of how small that crew room was.
There's nothing behind it now, though.
There's nothing there.
No, there's nothing.
And then do you remember for the first few weeks at the new building, everyone would keep trying that door handle?
Yeah.
And it was like, so it's mad, isn't it, when you think back to Key Street and how much history was there, but how it just kind of couldn't keep going.
But it was also a three-quarter. Doors were three-quarter, and also the street, you couldn't get two cars up.
I'd have been too tall to be on Corrie if it was still at Key Street, probably.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Me and Jack were perfect, so
yeah.
I was perfect.
I do remember the time I really did think, ooh, this is...
They're a small family.
I'm a bit more... We're all small, so we'll be fine. No, I walked in, I thought, oh, I'm a bit more nervous now, was the first scene in The Rovers I'd ever done. And I remember being with Betty, and I remember thinking, oh, I feel a bit
nervous
now. There's
a lot of people here.
There's a lot of people. There's Barbara in there. I remember,
and you have to be on it with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, we know what we're doing.
Yeah. And there was no scripts on set, and you're like, oh, okay, it's a rehearsal.
Yeah.
Right, we're on. And you're the new one. And they're like,
don't drop the
and
ball.
It's a bit, don't drop the
it's
ball.
It's a bit, show us what you've got.
And also the Rovers is the kind of set is, when you walk into the Rovers, it's a bit like walking to a Wild West bar. Mm. Everyone sort of turns round. That was the one time I thought, I'm on Corrie now. But, you know, things move on, and things move on with Dawn. Hello, gentlemen. This is Dawn from the Fine Arts Department.
Ah, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. Just summing on all of your subdued ways that you bring in the new year. I usually celebrate the new year at 7 o'clock. I love this. 1900, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is midnight in the UK. Thanks for being so precise, Dawn. My dad was from Scotland, so we first foot at 7 p.m., 12 a.m., and go to bed shortly thereafter. I hate trying to stay awake for the new year. I would much rather wake up to welcome the new year than watching any coverage of the festivities. I get you, Dawn. Yeah,
you do that, don't you? That's what you said.
You're go to bed.
I'll get to midnight
I
now.
I don't. But I can't be asked.
Yeah, I'm spring chicken.
I'm not asked to get to midnight.
I don't think you're getting there tonight.
You're not getting to midnight tonight. Bloody hell. We're recording this. It's 1 minute to seven.
I've been telling Ben I've been going to sleep at 8:30 this week.
Have you?
Yeah. Bad that, innit?
Have you been going, like, sleep at 8:30?
Yeah, yeah. Might be ill. Do you not wake up?
I wake up about...
at, like, 3:30?
About half three, half four, and then about 6, and then I'm up.
If I went to sleep at 8, I'd be awake at 11.
I wake up about midnight as well again. Yeah, it is weird, but then I kind of get back to sleep. But I only have deep sleep up until midnight, and then I don't, and then I'm restless, apparently.
So there we go. It's two questions because we went so in-depth with the conundrum and our reviews.
We've massively overrun.
So that's all you're getting.
Because this is just a bite-sized episode.
Yeah, you've had your fill.
Yeah, now sod off.
Can we have a would you rather before we go?
Yeah.
Have we got time for a would you rather, producer Henry?
Keep it quick.
Ooh,
hold on.
Keep it quick.
Hey, if you do want more on the sofa in the meantime, Patreon, www.patreon.com/onthesofa. Jack's Famous Friends, question and answer session. There's loads. Get on that if you want more, longer.
Here we go.
And you can also watch the episodes visually. They're all on,
Right, here we go. The would you rather. I'm not sure about this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. Would you rather be famous in your career field or celebrity famous? Would you rather be famous in your career field or celebrity famous?
Well, what are we?
Celebrity famous.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And are we famous in our career field as well?
I suppose, yeah. The first one, definitely.
Career field, I think, yeah.
100%.
Does that mean like, if you were a scientist, you'd be known... like,
yeah, rather than you'd won the Nobel Prize, you just know everyone go, he's a very good scientist.
Yeah, so that would normally mean you were very, very good at what you did.
Yeah, so we're all very good at what we do. That's the end of the would you rather.
And because we've overrun, all we've got to do is say goodbye and we'll see you on Thursday where we're talking all things air. Which brings on Amazon if you want to watch it. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.